Okay, so we're going to learn for the next. We'll learn as much time as we have until Tisha B'Av. It's today, tomorrow, and Friday. Instead of learning Eicha, we finished Eicha, so we'll learn the sugya of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It goes on for a few daf. There's a lot of Gemara. Most of the time, you only get to learn the first half a page of Gemara. But there's really like three, four daf. So we'll see how far we get. Okay, so the Gemara starts on daf Nun Hamad Beis. It starts with towards the bottom. It is 8 lines from the bottom. Nun Hamad Beis. There's some Nekudos. This Gemara, Kai from my Gemara. I used to put Nekudos into the Gemara. For a segel, by the way, for a segel, if you have some of the nekudos, some of them you'll see. I make a circle for a segel because in very little small print, it's very hard to make three dots. So I make my own convention of a segel. Okay, so here we go. What does it mean? What is it? This that it says in the pasuk, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, fortunate or praiseworthy is the person Mefachei Tamid, who is always afraid. Person who's always open-minded. He's always afraid that there is a danger lurking out there. A person who is
paranoid?
Not paranoid. It's not over here used in the negative sense. It's used. Look at Rashi. Rashi on the side says mefache doyeg liros hanoilat. The person that always plans for the future. Retirement planning. You plan for the future. What's going to be? I'm afraid if I'm going to do this, what is the outgrowth? What will the result? Are the consequences, ramifications of my actions? But the pasuk says, but a person who hardens his heart, in other words, he does not pay attention to the consequences of his actions, he will fall in evil, he will fall into a pit, he will suffer. And the Gemara is going to illustrate that's the story with Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that because the Rabbanon who sat at the party did not have the foresight to realize the consequences of, they seemingly, this is very difficult what the Gemara really means with this pasuk. There are many interpretations. There's a struggle to really understand the depth of why this pasuk is the hakdama to the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. But on a very simple level, it appears that Chazal, the Rabbanon of the time, are criticized for not paying attention to the consequences of allowing Bar Kamsa to be insulted and to be thrown out of the party. They should have been sensitive to this pasuk of the Mefachei Tamid and prepare for the future.
Why do you have to worry about the consequences? When did you say it's wrong?
What?
Why did they just first say it was wrong for the person to be embarrassed? And not worry about the consequences?
You're right. So it's, I think what it means is, in addition, not only is the chait, is a chait wrong, in addition to it being wrong, there's also consequence. I don't know the answer. You're asking a very good question. I don't know. Let's keep this pasuk in mind. I mean, I learned the Gemara, the few times I learned the Gemara, this always bothered me. Why is this Gemara serving as a hakdama to the Gemara? Maybe when we learn a half page Gemara, maybe we'll be able to come back and have an idea. Keep it in mind. Okay, it's a very difficult the idea. What is the connection of no, they're going to come knock, is the door's open?
It's locked
because they're probably, it's the only way. The front is locked.
You can't get in.
Alright, okay, whatever. Alright, so they're going to come.
Open the door, it's noisy.
I know, sleep in the club, but they're going to come knocking. I don't know, you're right.
What? A wedge, I need a wedge.
I need a wedge.
Alright. Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid. So let's keep this in mind. Umak Shaliboy, person hardens his heart, people will fall in evil, will suffer the consequences. The Rabbanon over here, they were Umak Shaliboy, they did not pay attention. Or we can interpret this in reference to Kamsa, we're going to say that because of this thing, there are consequences. The Korban came about from a seemingly an innocent event brought about horrible consequences. So here the Gemara elaborates, Akamsa, due to the Akamsa, Ubar Kamsa. Two people who had different names, one was called Kamsa, one was called Bar Kamsa, Chorav Yerushalayim, because of this event, the consequences were Yerushalayim was destroyed. Atarnagoyla Vitarnagoylasa, due to a male chicken and a female chicken, Chorav Tur Malka, a very big, large city in Eretz Yisrael, which the Gemara will discuss in detail what happened there, and because of And more is going to go through every single one of these things. We have four different events, and because of ashaka de rispak, due to the plank of wood that is on the back of a chariot, Rashi says shaka de. Look at Rashi. Doifan shel markeves, the wall of a chariot. Markeves noshim, the wall of a chariot. Yeah, the two hands over here. The wall of a chariot of a woman. Beloshin v'hi kein agola darminan ba'osav yespino. When you give me, okay, whatever that means, I'm not sure what that means, Nagamar, but due to this, the back of the wall of a chariot, Chorov Beitar, of a carriage of a, for females, Chorov Beitar, the city of Beitar was destroyed. So the Gemara here is telling us about four different events. The Chorban Yerushalayim, the Chorban of Turmalka, the Chorban of four events? Three events. And the Chorban of Beitar. The Chorban of three events came about from seemingly an insignificant event. Something insignificant, it mushroomed. It mushroomed into a major Chorban. And that's why Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, a person should always realize that his actions have consequences. Small little things can make a big difference. I know I once had a maaser where a person donated a Sefer Torah to a shul, and because of something very, very minor, he misunderstood the entire sense of appreciation of him giving the Sefer Torah, and he took away the Sefer Torah. He decided to take the Sefer Torah out of the shul and give it to another shul. And I knew the inside story, and it was a total misunderstanding. But because someone didn't understand, we all have stories like this. Small little things can make a big difference later on in life. Okay, so here we go. Here the Gemara begins with the Maisa with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Now, who is Kamsa Bar Kamsa? We have Machlokes between Rashi and the Marsha. The Marsha, and a lot of Agadat Gemaras argues with Rashi, even though how can the Marsha is an Acharon argue with the Rishon? He does so. He says the different interpretations over here. Rashi is very clear. Kach Shem Shnei Yehudim. There were two different people. They were not related. One was called Kamsa, and one was called Bar Kamsa. He had the Bar. The Marsha says it was a father and son. And that totally changes the story when we're dealing with father and son. Okay, so let's see. Kamsa, Bar Kamsa. So the Gemara says, Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, Chorav Yerushalayim. That who Gavadu was a stupid person, the Rachamei Kamsa, who loved Kamsa. They were best friends. But Ubal Devaveh, his enemy, was Bar Kamsa. What happened? Avat Sudasa, he made a party. Omar Le Lishameh, he sent his servant, his messenger, Zil Isili Kamsa, deliver the invitation to Kamsa. The messenger made a mistake, put the invitation in the box, the mailbox of Bar Kamsa. Ozal Isile Bar Kamsa. Osa came to the party, and the host saw who's sitting at the table. Ashkeche the Hav Yosef, that Bar Kamsa was sitting there. Amale Nichti. He said to him, Ahu Gavra Bal de Baba, Dahu Gavra Ahu. You are my enemy. Notice he said it in third person. Bar Kamsa is the enemy of Kamsa. He didn't say to him, you're my enemy. So and so, you are my enemy. My boy Yisachar, what are you doing here at this party? I would never, ever invite you. Now, question is, why then did Bar Kamsa show up? Didn't Bar Kamsa realize it was a mistake? It must be, so there are different interpretations, it must be that Bar Kamsa thought he's just trying to make some reconciliation, trying to make up. He was flattered. He was an optimist. He thought things were good, but the host did not take it that way. Come, so he told him, get up, pook, get out. Get out. He wanted to be mevasahim berabim. Amalei. So Bar Kamsa says, please don't embarrass me. Hoil v'asai, shivokon, let me sit, leave me alone. V'yahiv nelach demei ma'ad da'achilna u'shasina, I'll pay you for what I have eaten and drinking. Don't throw me out of the party. Amalei. So he said to him, lo, no such thing, out. Pick yourself up and get out. Amalei yahiv nelach demei palgo de sudasech, I'll pay you for half of the suda. Amalei lo, Amalei yahiv delach demei kula sudas, I'll pay for the entire party. Amalei, so he said to him, lo, nakte biyade, it wasn't enough that he picked him up with his own hands, v'oikme, he grabbed him by his hands, v'oikme, he lifted him up, v'afke, and he threw him out of the party. Omar, Bar Kamsa said, he was hoil since vahavi yaster rabbanon v'loy machubei, since the rabbanon were sitting, they were present, and they saw what happened. They saw how this man publicly humiliated me, and they did not protest. Shma mina konicho luhu, that they had satisfaction. This is the derech haTorah. So you know what? I am going to take revenge. Ezel, I will go. Echol bu kurtza beimalk, I'm going to eat. Kurtza, kurtza means a snack. Or kurtza is, the reason why it's called kurtza is because when you eat this snack, you wink with your eyes. In other words, you come, let's go for coffee. Like what we say today, let's go for coffee. I will have a conversation. I'll tell you all the garbage, all the secrets. And as you sit there, you speak Lashon Hara. I'll say, Echol b'kurtza b'malka at the king. The Rashi learns Echol means to eat. I think the Masha says Echol means to, an expression of a sound. I will bring forth noise. I'll bring forth a wink noise. In other words, I will say same idea. I'll speak Lashon Hara to the king about the Jews and tell the Melech that the case of the Roman Emperor that the Jews are rebelling against you. Azal, he went, Amalele Kesar. He said to the Kesar, it seems that he had connections. The Kesar, every time it says with Kesar by itself, it means the Caesar. Can you imagine to get an audience with the President of the United States? It's impossible. Okay? So I would imagine that by the time, the Kesar was even harder. Right? The Kesar, he was
the Kesar wasn't in
He was in Rome.
He was his representative.
No, it doesn't say that. It says the Caesar. There's a discussion that
was his legal representative.
Caesar, no, it says the Caesar. Caesar simply means that he will go directly to the very top, the Caesar. The very, very top. It's shocking that over here you have a person, Bar Kamsa. If you take the Gemara, if you just take the Gemara, it's face value. You have a person, Bar Kamsa. He comes to the party. If this person, Bar Kamsa, has the ability, has the President of the United States on speed dial, can call him whenever he wants, you can only begin to imagine how important this person was. And you just don't throw him out. You don't throw him out of a party. Today, even the senators, even the people in the highest positions of government can't get to speak to the president unless they have an appointment and they have to wait a few weeks. And certainly an ordinary citizen doesn't have a chance, doesn't have any hope of having an audience with the president. Over here, he had an audience with the Caesar, and it just goes to emphasize the degree of humiliation that he suffered, the sinas chinon. You wouldn't dare start up with a politician or a very wealthy person who comes to your party. He's here by mistake, okay? So you look the other way. He publicly was mevaza him. You mevaza a person, the vice president of the United States. He publicly mevaza. Don't you realize what he's going through, what the power he has? It adds more emphasis to the story. So Amale the Kesar, he goes to the Kesar, Mordu be Yehudai. The Jews have rebelled against you. Amale, the Kesar says, Miyemar, prove it. Amale. So he's here, he devised the following plan. Shadar luhu kurvana, send them a korban. Chazis, and let's see mikarvin lei, if they will offer it as an offering on the mizbech. Let's see what they think of you. If they hold from you, they'll offer you a sacrifice. If they don't hold from you, they will reject it. Ozal, so he said, fine, send them an animal. You be the delivery man. Shadar biyade, he sent in a sense egla tilsa, he sent him the best of the best. An egla tilsa, which means either it's the third to its mother, the third to its mother is the most healthy, or it means it's one third of its maturity, it's tasty, it's high quality. Bahadi tika'ase, as this messenger Bar Kamsa was bringing it to the Yerushalayim Shadabe Muma, he inflicted a blemish. Now what kind of blemish? Benivsif asayim, a blemish on the lips. The Amalas, some say bedukin shebaayin, and the blemish in the membrane of the eye, duchta. Such a blemish is in a location diladidan. Have a mumma for Klal Yisrael, it's considered to be a blemish. Uledidhu, for a non-Jew, lav mumahu, it's insignificant. So the point was, this is a technique. And they're going to bring the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews are not going to want to be mekabel because it's a baal mum. And when they'll go back and they'll tell the king that they did not want to accept it because it was a blemish. So what was the blemish? There was a nick on the lip. There was a nick in the eye. He'll say, that's a blemish. That's not a blemish. By a non-Jew, that's not a blemish. So obviously, they're just looking for excuses to reject my comments. This is a very clever technique. There's a very famous Musar Vod. All the Bali Musar say this far it is that when it comes to the pair, the sifosayim and the eyes, what for a non-Jew is insignificant, for a Jew is forbidden. A non-Jew can speak a certain way. A non-Jew, when they speak nivul peh, they speak with a lack of refinement. What I do wrong? There's nothing wrong whatsoever. To look at things, they can look at whatever they want. It's insignificant. When you tell a guy that you can't talk, when you tell a guy that Hashem Shabbos is not allowed to speak in such a undignified way, is not allowed to say nivul peh, is not allowed to speak without refinement, is not allowed to look at certain things, they'd have no understanding. Why not? What's wrong with this? For us, it's a blemish, but for them, it's not a blemish. It's a very powerful musavard. The difference between a Jew and a non-Jew of shmiras einayim and the lashon hara and the refinement of language. Who savar lav mumuhu savar abon lekuve. So now the rabban had a very great dilemma. What should we do with the carbon of the kesar? So the rabbanon wanted to offer it, even though it's forbidden because of shalom alchus. He healed an incredible halacha. A lot of the pais, a lot of the bali halacha, they learned from this that because of emas amalchus, shalom alchus, you're allowed to be over on various isurim. You're allowed to even be makiv on the mizbech balmon bikuach nefesh haflam afela. What's sakana? Well, was it really sakana? It's not clear what sakana, but because of shalom alchus, you're allowed to be makir on the mizbech of balmon. How far does it go? Because of shalom, let's say the president of the United States comes and you want to bend some rules and to accommodate him. How far are you allowed to go? It's not so simple. So here it says that mishum shalom alchus, they wanted to bend the rules according to the halacha. Omar lohu rabbi zechari ben af kulos yoimru. He said, you're right, it's mutter to bend the rules because of Shloim Alchus, but that's only when it will not result in a takola for us, for future generations, because everyone is watching. This event is televised. It's broadcast, live, online, all over the world. And the Jews are going to learn that you're allowed to be makav a balimum on the Mizbech. Yomu, they'll say, balimum kreivim without a Mizbech. So what are we going to do? So the next best thing was to do was sover limik. So the problem was, so he's going to go back bar kamsa to the Caesar and we'll tell them that they rejected your carbon. So the next best thing we'll do is we won't offer the carbon and we'll kill him. Sover limik tila, he is a roideif. He's trying to bring harm to Klal Yisrael. He's a roideif. Let us execute him. The Mepharshim said different. It doesn't mean they would mamash be odayim. It means they would be mispalel that he would die. The Rabban were very holy people. If they would pray, they would curse him, put him in chayim and shanta, he would die. The Chavetz Chaim, I told the Chavetz Chaim, I think I told this 2 days ago, the Chavetz Chaim, at one point he gathered together 10 people and he put Trotsky in shanta, in chayim. He gathered, he felt that Trotsky was a threat to the whole Klal Yisrael, the Russian Jewry, what he was planning to do. And he gathered 10 Talmidei Chachamim, and they said if he was a guy, we couldn't do this, because a Chayrim...
The story was that someone came to him that he had kicked out a kid out of yeshiva.
I don't know the details of the story.
How dare you kick him out? The kid you kicked out was Trotsky.
Yeah.
And because he kicked him out,
That's how it all made, how it started. But when he got to a point, the position in government where he was powerful and he was passing gezeiros on Russian Jewry, I don't know the details. This is how the story goes. The Chofetz Chaim, they said he was a guy, we couldn't do anything. But he's a Jew, he's Jewish. Trotsky was Jewish. And he found out his mother's name, he found out his Hebrew name, and they put him in Shanta. So they say that from that time, everything went the wrong way for him. He had a very great mapol, he had to run away. He was brutally murdered, Trotsky.
Mexico,
he had Gefarel Chatzaris. So those who, no one knows how these, but those who want to say, will say they all attribute it to the curse of the Chofetz Chaim. But in any event, it says that
he... Because he didn't want to have Zara Yisrael, and somehow his grandson was
Megaya. Wow.
And he had a kid, so
yeah.
He called the kid Yehuda Leib, because Trotsky's first name was Leon.
They named it after him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Savar le Miktele, so the Mefarshim have a discussion. It doesn't necessarily mean they wanted to kill him in outright cold blood murder because they were afraid the Kesa would find out. It means they wanted to kill him indirectly. Either indirectly means physically, or it meant that through Koyach of Tzfil and Klala they would kill him. They should not go back and say to the king that the Jews have rejected your carbon. Omar Luhu Rabbi Zechariah of Zechariah ben Av Kula said, Yoimru, it's not a good idea because the Klal Yisrael is watching. And if they find out that we put a curse on him, we killed him, then they're going to say, Yoimru, they'll say, Matul Mumba Kadoshim, if a person inflicts a blemish in an animal that's a carbon, Yei Horei. And that's not the halacha. So we don't want to do this. They did nothing. And they let this person go back to the Kesar and tell him that they rejected your carbon. Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, he commented on this story, and this Sanusa shall Rabbi Zechariah ben Av Kulos Hechariva Espeitenu. Due to his humility, he said, no, don't do anything. Listen, so he's a bad guy, he's insulting us, he's making trouble for us, and we can't kill him, we have to reject the carbon. Due to his extreme humility, that contributed towards the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, Hechriv Espatenu, V'sarfa Hecholenu, all these expressions. The Hechol was burnt, V'iglisanu Me'artzenu, we were exiled. Okay, we have all these expressions together, which now the question, what exactly does this mean? So the answer is the different.
Humility.
It doesn't here mean, it means his lack of willingness to take action.
What is stupidity?
It's no. You can't say it's not stupidity. You cannot say. It's the anugnuso means. So it means that his lack of will to take action. That's what it means. He was not willing to come up with a plan to do something. To do nothing is not an option.
But how come he had the sole power? See, like he was walking around.
He wasn't. They all deferred. They all deferred to his decision. He was the greatest. It's a very difficult Gemara. Now, what it means also is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this is part of the Churban, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that there should be a Churban, there's nothing you can do that's going to prevent it. Uh-huh. If the time already has come, even your mitzvahs, doing mitzvahs, doing your the good midos, that also will bring the Churban. You cannot outsmart Hashem. If we've reached a level where there was sinas chinam, where kamsa bar kamsa was just a destroyer, that broke the camel's back, this is just one story, the spark. When the time has come, no matter what you're going to do, even the humility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use that in order to bring the Churban. Now, your humility does not necessarily mean humility. It means the lack of action. Hishtadlus. When you're dealing at a time of Churban, there's a very big debate among Gedolei Yisrael. This is an ongoing debate, especially very true of this generation, and it was true of the last Russian Jew. It was very true of the Russian Jewry in the 80s. It's a very, very, it's a raging debate, is where you draw the line in the shtadlus. In Europe also, World War II, the Holocaust, do you sit back and you just say, listen, there's that much we can do and whatever will be, it's biyad Hashem, or no, shtadlus, you have to go and take the bull by the horns and do everything in your power. Where do you draw the line?
This is consistent with beginning of the story where they're abundant.
They did nothing.
Lack of will.
Exactly. It's like Mida connected Mida. They sat back and did nothing. Mida connected Mida. Now the punishment came through a decision to do nothing. You're right. Excellent. It's like Mida, the whole thing perpetuated. It was Mida connected Mida. Now I did see one idea in the footnotes in the Masifta. He says, I don't remember who says this, some very interesting ideas, that he had a very big, what does it mean, the humility? He had a plan. The plan of Zechariah ben Avkulis was let Bar Kamsa go back to the Kesar and let him report exactly what happened. He did have a plan. The plan was, he'll go back, he'll say, you know, I brought the carbon. The carbon had a nick. There was nothing wrong with the carbon. These Jews, they came up with this crazy excuse. There was a microscopic nick on the lip, and there was a rabbi there by the name of Zechariah ben Avkulos. And you know what? And he didn't let me bring the carbon. He protested. So Rabbi Zechariah said, "They'll come after me let them come and they'll take me away and they'll kill me. I'll be from the Asara Harugi Malchus and I'll save everyone. In other words, he was willing. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkula said, I will be the scapegoat to save the entire Klal Yisrael. It was a plan. His humility was, someone has to be the fall man, the hitman. I'll take the blow. The fall guy. I'll take the fall. Let me be the one. Let him go back. It is a no-win situation. If we were going to kill him, it'll be a chil Hashem. If we're going to offer the carbon, it'll be a chil Hashem. So the solution is, let them go back and say there was one fellow who prevented it from happening. The seeds that will come will kill me. Shalom al Yisrael. The plan backfired. How did it backfire?
All plans of mice and men.
The plan backfired. How did it backfire? Because the Caesar said, kill them all. Kill them all.
Excuses,
what?
They were looking for excuses.
And it could very well be the Alpi Derech HaTev. We don't know how things worked. We don't know how, you have to know the times, you have to know the protocol. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis maybe was right. The protocol was he would be the fall man, that would be the end. They would kill him and give up his life and everyone, Klal Yisrael would be safe. We have many stories in history like this.
Reuven with Joseph.
But the plan did not work. The Caesar decided to kill them all, and that's what the Gemara says, there was a fault in his plan, the humility, the willingness that he would give up his life to save Klal Yisrael. That really makes sense. Humility. Let me be the carbon. This backfired. The whole Klal Yisrael was to blame as well. It's also, I think, very interesting that his name was Zechariah. You know, when you're talking about in times of Chazal, names have great meaning. It's also, the one of the major themes in Kinois is the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. When Nebuzaradan saw the blood bubbling, there are two kinois that focus on the death, and could be descended to another kinois, but two major kinois that emphasize the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, that was a very great cause, captured the fate of the generation of the Bayis Rishon. And here it's interesting that the one over here that wanted to be the person now, Adarab, will be the kapara for Klal Yisrael. According to this interpretation, his name was also Zechariah. So it's like, let this Zechariah be a kapara for the murder of the other Zechariah. I don't know if there's something over here, but you can't help but notice the similarity of two Zechariahs which precipitated the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, Zechariah ben Yehoyada the Kohen, versus here another person whose name was Zechariah ben Avkulas, who's trying to give up his life, according to this interpretation, to save the Beis HaMikdash.
It's clear though
No, not necessarily. It's subject to interpretation, like everything else. This Gemara is extremely rich. It's very deep, and there's so many ayin panim l'Torah. I'm just presenting you a teeny tip of what I actually have another sefer. The whole mimer on this piece, and Adrabi is coming to give praise. Everything is subject to interpretation, especially in Divrei Agada.
How do you see it positively?
The pack I just explained to you.
But he's saying it caused this.
It backfired. It backfired because the plan backfired because Hashem wanted it to backfire. You can't outsmart Hashem. This is what triggered the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This contributed to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even though the Kavanah was noble. The Kavanah was 100% on the mark. Al Pi Derech HaTeva, he could have been the fall man, and Klal Yisrael would have been spared this Maisa. But it did not work, because Hashem did not want it to work, because the generation was not deserving that they should be spared.
And then, so tomorrow, all these cases that the Chumim would give to when you're allowed to be Maisa Nefesh, so to speak, if it's a Horah Shah, then the God of Adar is allowed to make a Horah Shah. But there are always consequences. The first incident the Gemara gives with Mordechai and Esther. I mean, could you imagine nowadays Mordechai telling Esther to go and marry your Shegetz? That's it. I don't know. The Kasher Avadati, the Avadati. Maybe we're all going to go to Gehenim for what I did. I don't know. But if you don't try, you can't just sit still and do nothing.
That's what the Gemara says over there. You have to take a chance.
So he also, that was the complaint. He should have offered the carbon. Hayrasha, they could have offered the carbon, and whatever will be, will be.
Same thing with the Holocaust.
What?
The Holocaust.
Holocaust is a touchy topic. Don't want to go there.
What I point out is that when Germany started to go from after each country, people just laid back. And when he walked in, he expected them to stop him.
Okay, so we don't know what would have been. You can't be critical in hindsight. I know there are books and there are blogs dedicated to criticizing decisions that were made. It's very easy to criticize in hindsight. If we were living through it, would we do anything different? Do we know what would have been? It's too late. What's there to go back and criticize people? We don't know what would have been.
What?
Okay.
People say, what am I going to come? Oh,
no, it's not. It's a good thing. Why do I go? No, but...
The purpose is more to influence the Jews to be...
Absolutely. There are many purposes. There are many things. Absolutely. Hishtadlus is a wonderful thing. Hishtadlus is a wonderful thing. There's no question. 5:30, where is it?
42nd and 7th Day. Times Square.
Times Square, 2nd and what? 2nd and 7th Avenue.
42nd
and 7th Avenue.
42nd
and 7th Avenue.
Where is it?
Okay.
Right.
Rabbi, the simplest thing would have been to say, let's have a group go and explain to the Caesar what
I'm sure they thought of all the different options.
And he refused to see them. That's a possibility.
What?
He could have said, I don't want to see them.
Today we have the emergency, let's go to Obama. We want to discuss with him the Iran situation. There's nothing to talk about. You're talking about brick wall. Well, you're going to get into him. You'll never get into him. Okay. So this was the plan, and the Rabbi Yochanan comments on this Lusa Shabbi Zhai Ben Avkula Sahriva Spatina Vasarfa Sahalinu Vigilinu and Maratsenu. It's fascinating how he elaborates all these words, the destruction of Albatenu Vasarfa Sahalinu Vigilinu Maratsenu. Okay, next. So Shadar Ilovayu Liniroin Kesar. Notice it's not called Kesar, it's Niroin Kesar. This is a discussion how Chazal referred to the Caesars. We know, a lot of this. We don't even know all the details. We think we know everything about the Roman Empire. There are a lot of things that we don't know about. There are a lot of mysteries about ancient Roman, the Roman Empire, going back to this time. Well, this is the first, second century. Well, this is the first century, right? The first century. There are a lot of mysteries. We really don't know.
Early second century.
Year 70. 70 is
the first century.
First century.
It's happened past the year 100 already. This story is... Obviously the first century.
First century. It's like the year 70. This was year 65. This is leading up to year 65, because it was a three-year siege. So year 67 already is when the siege began. So I recently read a chapter in a history book, and it basically says... It's a secular book, and it basically speculates certain things about the early Roman Empire, and admits, like, they're still digging up things in Rome that are shedding light on how the Roman Empire evolved and who played an important role. But they said Nero in Caesar. Now he wasn't the Caesar yet. Nero became the Caesar later. At this point, it seems that Chazal append the word Caesar to anyone who was a represent charge, had a position in the government, even though he was not the Caesar. There was one Caesar, and then he was a local. He was a Nero, so he was the general. He was in charge of a battalion, in charge of some legions to come and attack Yerushalayim. Kikasi, as Nero approached Yerushalayim, he wanted to do some testing. So Shada Gira Yishal and Arul Lemizrach to the east. Also, Nafal bin Yerushalayim, Lamarv to the west. Also, Nafal bin Yerushalayim, La Arbaduchas Hashemayim. Also, Nafal bin Yerushalayim. So he sent arrows. He did some testing, and he saw that he had a supernatural siyata deshmaya to destroy the arrows reached Yerushalayim. So he took this as a sign that he will be successful. He will succeed in conquering Yerushalayim. Then he said to a child, a girl. He took a girl. This is like the ancient form of a girl. He said to a child, "Tell me your pasuk. Psokli pesukech. Tell me what you learned today in yeshiva." Amalei, so he said to him, V'nasati esnik masi be'edayim b'yad ami Yisrael. He said to him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day will come when he will take revenge against the nation of Edom for the harm that they have inflicted upon the Jewish people. So this pasuk taught Nehron two things. Number one, he would succeed. He would succeed in destroying Klal Yisrael, but there are consequences. The consequences are your day will come as well. You will be destroyed for what you are about to do. It's fascinating what the child told him. He told him, you're going to win, but you're going to be punished also. Amar, so it's Amar. So what did Nehron say? Nehron was a very wise man, a very clever person. Bekeach. Amar, he said, Kudsha Brichu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Holy One blessed us. He noticed, he blessed Hashem right away. This every word of Gemara here is full of symbolism, full of lessons. He right away blessed Hashem. Kudsha Brichu, blessed, the Holy One blessed to see. Boy Lecharuve Beisei, he wants to destroy his home. Or boy Lechafure Yoda, he wants to wipe his hands. When he wants to destroy the, and then his hands are bloody from destroying Yerushalayim. On me? I'm going to do the dirty work, and then he's going to kill me and my nation for punishing them. I'm going to go down in history as the one who has succeeded in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. No, thank you. I don't need to be infamous. I don't need this. I don't need to be recorded in history as being the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. No, thank you. So what did he do? This is fascinating. Go try to find this in the secular history books. That Nehron. How do they say it in
Nero,
English?
Nero
converted. Does it say that in the secular history books?
He disappeared.
Okay, he doesn't.
Ran
I don't.
Away. He ran away. They never found him.
It doesn't say anywhere in any secular. Google it on Wikipedia. Go look at every encyclopedia. You're not going to find this anywhere. That Nero converted to Judaism and he became the father of the Halakha Rabbi Meir. Halak Rabbi Meir, who stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, he is the father of a partner with Rabbi Akiva and Tarsha Baal Peh. Every Mishnah follows the stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir.
A bit about two generations later that Rabbi Meir lived.
Also, it's a question: does it mean Mamish's grandson, or does it mean his son? Some say it means his son also, which is not likely because like you say past son, or some say it means his grandson. And they a lot of this is an idea which I've seen. This is just an observation: is they say it was a grandson to a daughter. They say a lot of the people who converted from them came very great people. It seems that Chazal say, some of the Farshim say it was a great person was a descendant through a daughter, not through a son. Somehow it seems that a daughter is a very good cleansing agent. If you have a son, a grandson, a son, ben achaben, the wickedness does not wear off.
That's part of the drasha. Yisischa,
it's always going to be the woman. Bincha. The daughter, the women somehow are a buffer, are a clear buffer to cleanse the previous generation of wickedness to a new generation that's going to be part of great people in Klal Yisrael. Look, even talk about Lot. From where does David come? From Rus HaMoavia. There's always a woman. There's always a woman in between the nation that is forbidden. This is just my observation. I've noticed this in a few places. I noticed over here in the commentators, a mayor, really? How you talking? A Caesar? Hey, look at Rabbi Meir. You know Rabbi Meir? We have any clue who Rabbi Meir was? Even a mashal of holiness? From Nero? Yeah. That's how it was? No, doesn't mean... Others say no. It means a descendant through a daughter. Through a daughter. They married Jew. There was some Jewish blood there also. Okay, so take it what it is. Arak, he ran away. The Ozal, the Igayer, he converted. He only says this in the Talmud Bavli. The secular media, the secular press... All of the encyclopedias and go to Rome and go read all the history. They'll never.
Just they don't know what happened.
The revisionists.
They're the revisionists.
They wouldn't want to say that.
They wouldn't want to say it. You claim that we're revisionists.
Say that.
People, they write books that we're revisionists. They're the revisionists. They're the ones who rewrite history and deny the facts. What? Okay, but they're even worse. Look what they deny this. The Talmud says this is a clear statement of the Gemara. We have emunah that what it says in the Gemara is 100% emes. Okay, I have emunah. That's part of the emunah in Torah Shebal Peh. Orak v'ozal v'igayer. The incredible words here. This one, these three words over here in the Gemara, show this to a guy. They'll never believe it. The Nofak Mine from Nero came Rebbe Meir. Okay, now there's one thing I just also mentioned. It says he shot an arrow. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring about the shooting of an arrow? Because the shooting of an arrow is chetz. Oh, I've got the pasuk ready. Lashon Hara is called an arrow. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. I don't remember the pasuk. Sorry, the pasuk says that when your tongue, the lashon, is compared to a sharp arrow. A sharp arrow, lashon chetz, lashonim chetz, lashon. Some of those three words together, lashon chetz and lashonim. A person's tongue is an arrow. The chet is coming because of sinas chinam, and sinas chinam is expressed through lashon hara, through slander. That's why the simon here came. No matter where you shoot,
anyone know where the thing that Nero's fiddle by Ron Bird came from?
Say it again? Does anyone know?
The whole thing we all learn is growing up that Nero fiddled while Rome burned.
Nero fiddled?
He didn't do anything.
While Rome was burning? Okay, I don't know.
Well, historically, they say that didn't really happen.
Rome was burning? When was Rome burning? During this time?
The
big fire.
Yeah.
And that wasn't it afterwards? There was a big fire after. There was a massive fire after, like 5 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash in Rome. A couple of years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, after they everything was over, almost the whole Rome was destroyed in a massive, massive fire. Maybe it was 10 years and it was 20 years later, whatever it was. But you said it was a fire before. There was another.
I always said there's this expression. This expression.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a...
I could look at the shit he started in Nero, what year he was emperor. I think it was about 10 years. No.
Nero was 54 to 68.
There you go. Right before
he disappeared. Right before 54 to 68. Okay, but he was there 54, so he was there for a long time. So maybe when he fiddled, that was an earlier tkupa, when the earlier event. Okay, let's go further. Yeah.
Am I trying to contrast Nero's action versus the...
Yes, versus the next one. Versus the next one, Aspasianus. He's the next guy on the list. Nero. No, we have over here this... Galba, am I pronouncing that?
Yeah.
Galba?
He was a very short time.
And then the next one was Otho. Otho?
Yeah, there were a couple that were very short.
And then is, who's the next one? Vitellius. Vitellius, and then is the space. That's Aspasianus. Aspasianus comes later on. He comes 69 to 79. During the time, okay. They were all murdered. They were all many of them were assassinated. I think that who's the first one to die a natural death? Wasn't he the first one? Aspasianus.
For what?
Aspasianus, I think, was the first one to die. Everyone else was assassinated. They drank l'chaim. Their drinks were poisoned.
Seems to be a lame dog. They decided to get on with the business at hand.
Next one. Okay, most of them was the most dangerous job in Rome to be a Caesar. They had tasters. They had people that would.
The generals came back from victorious war. They thought they had enough people behind them. If they did, they did. And if not, they wiped.
Didn't last very long. Okay, let's go further. Oza Orak v'Ozal v'Gai v'Nafik b'Nir b'Meir Shadre Ilavai. So therefore, he disappeared. So therefore, they sent the next general. The next Caesar sent Ozal Shadre Ilavai la Aspasianus. Aspasianus wasn't a general. He wasn't the Caesar yet. He was just another officer in the hierarchy of the Roman Empire. Aspasianus Caesar also. So he came Tsar Olo Tlashtu. So Aspasianus, indeed, he went and he laid siege to Yerushalayim for 3 years. Now, in this city, who was living now in the siege? There's no food going in, going out. So the people are going to begin to starve. So living in Yerushalayim, there were three very wealthy people. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and who's the third one?
Donald Trump.
Or... Well, Steve Jobs, so he was also there. So, okay.
Our ex-mayor.
Bloomberg. There were three very wealthy people living there. Have Bahadut La Satire. Who were they? Nakdiman Ben Gurion. Okay, he was number one. He was the one who the son stopped for. He went and he took a loan. The mice with him was there was no water. Klal Yisrael, they were starving. There was a drought. So he borrowed water. And he promised to pay back at a certain point in time, that the water, they guaranteed that it would rain by a certain period of time. And a miracle happened, that the Zman already passed. And the guy who came and says, you know, you didn't pay up on time, it didn't rain. And the sun already set. So a miracle happened, the time we went back in time, time machine. The sun went backwards in order that the day was not yet over. And then it rained, and the barois filled up. An incredible miracle. You have to go through the Gemara. A miracle, Lamala Midera Chateva, occurred through the efforts of...
That's where the Mepharshim say that was just an optical illusion.
Optical illusion. But it was still a miracle.
Can't have... It says the planet...
There was an eclipse.
The whole solar system would implode if anything would stop.
Would stop for a second. So we don't know what it means, but the Gemara says some supernatural thing happened through Nakdiman Ben Gurion, who was extremely wealthy. Number two, was Uben Kalba Savua. He was the shver of Rabbi Akiva, of his first wife, of Rachel. He had a few wives, Rabbi Akiva, but the first wife was Rachel. And he was Ben Tzitzis HaKeses. He was another extremely wealthy person. His name was Tzitzis HaKeses. Tzitzis would lie. His tzitzis would sit on pillows. He would not allow the tzitzis to fall on the floor. He had pillows, people accompanying him with pillows to make sure the tzitzis do not drag on the floor. The work explains. Nakdiman Ben Gurion. He was a very... Why was he called Nakdiman Ben Gurion? Their name says that describes who they were. The sun stopped. Nocta means...
This is Josephus' brother, by the way.
Who? Nakdiman.
Josephus Ben Gurion.
Ben Gurion is his brother? Yeah, really. Okay, fascinating.
That's what it says. That's what they write in the books that they write. They were brothers.
So he's a
kayak. Shenokta means Shenok Lecham Avuray. I don't know the word Nokta. Is there Rashi?
It stayed in the spot.
Is there Rashi on the word Shenokta? Okay, it stayed in its spot. It stayed in its spot. Bavuray on his behalf. Ben Kalba, so what is it called? The Kalba means a dog. So it means satisfied. Dogs are never satisfied. Dogs are always hungry. Shakol Hanichnas Lebesa Kishahu Yuroiv Kishahu. Anyone who comes into his house that was starving, even like a dog, he would be fed his fill until he came out satisfied. He was extremely wealthy, very, very, very big Baal Tzedakah. Ben Tzitzis HaKeses, Shehaisa Tzitzisoi Negreres Al Gabi Kesosos, that when he would walk, he was mechavev the midst of tzitzis very much. And when he would walk, his tzitzis would be supported by pillows. There's a lot of discussion when you walk, are you allowed to let your tzitzis drag on the floor? Today it's unacceptable. The Shemur Paskins is a Bizuya Mitzvah. But that's not... This is the source of the Mepharshim that not necessarily is it forbidden. And in fact, it could be that it's desirable, because that the purpose of tzitzis adrab is that your tzitzis should reach all the way down to the earth. This is something we don't accept this lahalacha b'zman hazeh, but he did not want that tzitzis should go on the floor, so he had pillows supporting it, whatever that means.
He had so many pillows that they didn't reach the floor. He sat on so many pillows that the tzitzis
did not reach the floor. Some said the reason why he was called Keses Tzitzis HaKeses, Shehaisa Kisasai Mutelis Ben Gedolei Roma, that he was an honorable person, they had great respect for him, he sat among the great people of Rome. Now, each one alone, they were also trapped in the siege. Each one pledged to support, to supply food for the entire Yerushalayim. Chad Amar one says, Chad Amar Lahu Anoz Zayin Alu Bechiti, I will provide wheat, Usa'are, I will provide wheat and barley. The Chad Amar one says, Lahu Bidachamra Udemilcha, I will provide wine and salt, Umashcha and oil. Chad Amar one said, Biditzive, I will provide firewood for the ovens. The Rabbanim, they praised the one that wanted to provide firewood, because you need an enormous amount of firewood to cook even a small amount of it. We don't appreciate this bizman hazeh. We have no clue what it was like in ancient times, not so ancient, but many years ago when there was no gas and there was no electricity, and when you wanted to bake a loaf of bread,
it's what they call like, how much you need for a carbon footprint.
Carbon footprint. You know how much wood you had to chop in the forest to go and bake a loaf of bread. You think it's so easy?
How much energy you need to produce certain things.
So today it's nothing. Today you turn on the range, you turn on the oven, and you finish. You don't even realize. You don't realize what you're doing. In ancient times, you want to make a loaf of bread. Ha ha! You go out to the forest, take an axe, and start chopping. You'll get sweated up, and you'll faint after 3 minutes, and you won't even begun to chop a mashu of what you need to cook dinner.
It's more energy. It's not an efficient way of making energy, saving energy. Ethanol is a big waste because the carbon footprint for producing ethanol
is worse.
Much worse than using the oil that you would have to be using regular gasoline.
So, but the tzivei v'shavchu rabbanim the tzivei d'Rav Chisda. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara illustrates the chashivus of wood. The Rav Chisda, he was also a very wealthy man. Kol lakli, all of the keys to his assets, hava mosa l'shame, he trusted his servant with the keys to his assets, bar meditzive. He did not trust anyone with the keys to the warehouses where he stored wood. Wadiyam Rav Chisda, akalba d'chite, for one akalba, one measure. There's an ois ches on the side that says oitzar. It says perish oitzar. If you see it, it's a little bit fuzzy on the right side. Hagos etzir means kalba, means an oitzar. One storage house, the chite of wheat, boy, she's in a kalbe, the tzibe needs 60 storage houses of wood for fuel. Fuel is the most valuable asset in the world. The one that controls fuel and energy controls the economy. That's what the Gemara said. See, the Gemara already said this 2,000 years ago. Today, we're first waking up to realize this, that whoever controls energy, Saudi Arabia, they have the oil. Okay, Iraq. Today, things are changing a little bit. That's why the whole world is changing. Political landscape, because of the one that controls energy is the Baal HaBayis. Havaluhu, the Chazal already took note of this already 2,000 years ago. Fascinating little piece of Gemara here. Havaluhu l'meizan, so the Gemara says they had these three together, had enough supplies to support Klal Yisrael for guess how long? For 22 years. For 21 years. Havaluhu l'meizan eshim l'chad shas, for 21 years. That's how much. 21 years is long enough at Shayavar Hazan, until Niroin will go away. This is not Niroin, I'm sorry, until Aspasianus will disappear. Havaluhu hanibar yibaryari, but they were the zealots. And these were the Kanoyim. These were the religious fanatics. Okay, watch out for the religious fanatics. The Biryoyne were people that were mamish. They were religious. We're not talking about secular Jews. We're talking about people that were shomer Torah mitzvos to the extreme, and they believed. And Farshim say that in the zechus of their Torah and their tefillah, they would be spared. They made big mistakes. Okay, extremism is not a good thing. Fundamentalism is not a good thing, no matter what. Hanu biryone, the biryone are harshly criticized in Chazal. Amru luhu rabbanon, hanu biryone. They were these biryone. Amru luhu rabbanon, the rabbanon said to them, the biryone. Nepok v'navet shlomo bahadayu. The rabbanon said, the moderates, they said to the biryone, let us go and surrender. We want this. The Rabbanon were the moderates, and they said the best thing to do is that there were three groups: the Biryone, the zealots. They wanted war, and the Rabbanon were the moderates. And then there were people that just wanted to sit back and just wait. Ad Shayavar Hazam. The Rabbanon wanted to surrender. That's what they wanted to do. But Rabbanon said to the Biryone, Nepok v'navet shlomo bahadai, let's make peace. We'll surrender. Lo yishav kinu. The Biryone did not allow. Biryone wanted war. They wanted war, no way. And the Biryone, they controlled. The people, empty cans make a lot of noise. Okay, we know that people, even a few, doesn't take a lot. People who are extremists, they somehow terrorize the people, and they manipulate the minds of the people. Amaluhu, Nebuk, Venavid, Kurba, Hadayu. The Biryone said, let's go out and let's go to war. Amaluhu Rabba, the Rabbanan said, Loi Mistayim Milsa. The Rabbanan said, no, you're not going to succeed. We're not going to succeed. Don't go, don't make war. So what did they do? Kol Kamu, the Biryoni, did something horrible. They burnt down all of the food and supplies. So that now there will be no choice but to make war. They starved the people. They burnt down this food supply, so now people are beginning to starve. And if you're starving, the only way to survive is to break out of the city and kill the Romans and open up, bring in food from the outside. So Kamu, the Biryone, got up, Kilanu, they took matters into their own hands, they burnt. Lahanu Amavore Dechite. Amvari here means, I know what it means. It means over here the storehouses of the wheat and the barley. Vahava kafna, and now there was a famine. People began to die from starvation. So their technique didn't work either. See, the Biryani in their zealotry didn't succeed. They thought that by starving the food, people would have no choice. They would go to war immediately, but people decided, no, we're not going to go to war. We're going to wait it out. And when they waited it out, people began to die from kafna. Kafna means from starvation.
They burnt it.
Right, they burnt all the food. There was no food left. Why did the Biryani burn the food?
They wanted war.
They would be motivated to fight, because we have nothing. Until now, we have 20. We can wait 21 years to decide if we want to go to war. Now, when there's no food and we're starving to death, our only chance of survival is to go to war. But it didn't work. It didn't work because people chose to starve to death and go to war. So they set out. People now, the Havikafta, there was a famine and people got very weak. So the plan backfired. The kanos of the Biryoni did not work. Kanos never works. He never succeeds. Of course, the whole thing was Sinaschinam. We mentioned, Tita said, Josephus writes, if it's true or not, that it could be that this was written later on, but Josephus, what we have, writes that Tita said, I don't have to do anything. The infighting among the Jews, they'll do themselves in. There's so much machlokes among the Jews. They're already messed up. There's so much fighting that's going on behind the walls there, they'll implode. I don't have to go do anything to finish them off. Now, the Gemara illustrates the degree of starvation. And the Gemara talks of Marta Bas Baitois. She was a very extremely wealthy woman from a very distinguished family. Marta Bar Baitois Atirta de Yerushalayim Havoi. She was the wealthiest woman in Yerushalayim. Shadarte, and during the time of famine, she sent out the Shalucha, her messenger, buy me something to eat. There's nothing to eat. V'amalei zil isili semida. Fine flour. Get me some good, high quality bread. Ad ozal is davin. By the time he went to the store, there was nothing left. Also, he came back. Amalos semida leka. There is no fine flour, but chavirta. Chavirta means it's not as fine. It's coarse flour. Ika amalos, so good. So get it for me already. So why don't you go buy it for me? Get that for me. Amalos zil isili. Ad ozal is davin. By the time he went to go buy it, already was sold out. Also, he came back. Amalos said to him, chivu leka. Gushkira ika. Gushka is inferior and very poor quality bread. Amrle ika. Amrle zil isli, go get it for me. Ad ozle, while he went, as Davin, he was also sold out. Also, Amrle, gushkira leka, kimcha desari ika. There's no wheat, there's barley. I can buy you some barley bread, which is very inferior. Amrle zil isli. Ad ozle is Davin, by the time that he got it, he already was sold out. Now, I don't know what this Gemara means. I remember sharing this, I have no clue. But what was the Shliach thinking? Buy it. You go to the store. Can you imagine someone, your mother sends you to the store, and they don't have grade A. They don't come back empty-handed. So you buy the next best thing. Why already has happened four times? I don't know. It's a very good question. I'm sure there are good answers. I don't have an answer at this moment. Leka. So
wealthy, she wouldn't take anything.
No, she was very cheap.
It was a sale.
She had a lot of money.
Yeah.
She wasn't counted with the shleisha. So she was cheap.
Yeah.
So when a servant of a cheap lady goes to buy something, the lady says, buy this. He's not going to buy anything else. And even if the other stuff was more expensive and there was nothing else, He had to go back that permission to spend money.
Okay, that's what it means, but it's still very bizarre.
He run out of the dump.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah. He
said the shliach. But in this situation, you would assume that due to the severity of the famine and the markets going down the drain, you hop around whatever you can get. I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
you
realize
that the wife tells you to buy something. You don't buy something else.
What?
She tells you, I want you to buy Kellogg's, and you come back with the shopping brand.
That's why the men in the supermarket are always on the phone.
I remember many years ago, I was in the doctor's office. I was in the doctor's office, Eschatoani Maskir, and I was watching television waiting, and they had Dr. Phil. Is he still on television?
Yes.
Dr. Phil. He's still on. It was so many years ago. I can't believe he's still on. Okay, so he did a social experiment. That's what he said. He says his wife sent him to go shopping in the supermarket. She gave him a list. It was hilarious. Gave him a list, like 10, 15 things to go, and he goes to the market, and he doesn't have a clue. They film him. He doesn't have a clue. And he buys this, and it was very funny. In the middle of him shopping there, this old lady goes up to him and says to him, I recognize you from somewhere. Oh, you're the one I see on television. Okay, when he comes home, it was hilarious. The things that on the shopping list was completely the opposite of what his wife wanted him to get. His wife was like making the tzanis of him. Like, you shaita, you have no clue what to buy. But this is the story over here. All right, whatever it is, let's go further. Shalfa, so what happened over here? Amar le zil aisili ad ozl zavin hava ad ozl zavin halfa shalfa misane shlifa misane. So she took off her shoe. She took off her shoe. Amar ebag ve'ezel. She removed her shoe. Why did she remove her shoe? I do not know. Shlifa misano. What does it say in Rashi?
About to throw it out.
Okay, I'm not sure why she removed the shoe. Amra, she said, let me go myself and check if there's something to eat. And as she was walking in the street barefoot, a piece of dung, a piece of waste from an animal touched her foot. So,
she didn't want to get her expensive shoes dirty.
Dirty, that's why?
Yeah, that's right.
She didn't want to get expensive shoes, so she went out barefoot into the store, and she came in contact. Came in contact with some door animal waste, and she was such an istinus, such a funekes, such a delicate creature. The disgust of coming in contact with the waste of animal waste on her foot caused her to have a heart attack and die, or caused her umesa. She died. And as and the Bukhari law, Bukhari Allah, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai, Harachemcha, the delicate among you, Vehuanuga, and the delicate Asher loynisus chafrag. Whose sole of the foot has not been tested, who has not been tested, not become filthy by the waste of the street, he applied this pasuk to her. This pasuk was said to Mirtas Basa Marta. Now the Gemara says, some say that's not the reason why she died. The reason why she died was because of there was a very holy, the holiest person living in Yerushalayim at this point in time was Rabbi Tzadik. Rabbi Tzadik was a skeleton. Why was he a skeleton? Because he knew that the Churban was coming and he was fasting for 40 years. 40 years was fasting. He was a skeleton. Rabbi Tzadik Achla, the Istanisa, and she became disgusted. Now, what exactly does that mean? The Gemara explains. She died from the disgust of eating, of swallowing the fig that was once swallowed by Rabbi Tzadik. What was this? So the story was Rabbi Tzadik HaYosef Arbon, and he fasted after 40 years, Betanisa, the Lelichav Yushan Esham Shnabi destroyed. Kiyav Ochel Midi, and then when the fast was over, at the end of the day, he was so weak, he couldn't even swallow a fig, so he sucked it. He sucked out the juice of the fig, and he spit out the fig. And this fig that he spit out was found by Marta, and she ate it, and when she detected in the fig that it was sucked by Rabbi Tzadik, mucus or whatever saliva that was attached to this fig, she got disgusted from it and she died. So when he would eat something, he was so thin you can see the food going down his stomach. That's how thin he was. When he was healthy, when the fast was over, Guroi Grois, they would bring him figs. Moyitz Maihu, he would suck the juice. Veshadi Luhun, he would spit it out. Kiavim Necha Nafsha, when she, Marta, was dying, as she was dying, she brought out into the street all of her gold utensils. Afikta Luchol Dahav of the Kaspa, she brought out her gold and her silver. Shadirte, Beshuka, she threw it in the street. Amale, she said, Hi, Lamai Miboile, what is the use of all my wealth? What is all this for? I spent my life earning all of this wealth and gold and silver. What good do I have from it? Here I am, I'm dying in a state of starvation. Vahainu Dechsev, it fulfilled the curse of Echa. Kasbam Bachutzos Yashlichu, they threw out into the street their silver. So unfortunately, they point out is these two were the two complete opposites. That's why she died. Mirta died from the fig of Rabbi Tzadok. Mirta was an extremely wealthy person, and she had that opportunity. They criticized her. She was very stingy. She had an opportunity to do chesed, to give away from her. As the famine got worse and worse, she could have supported the poor, and she chose not to do. She had an opportunity to do chesed, and she chose not to chesed. Rabbi Tzadok was the extreme opposite. He gave up 40 years of his life for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't a wealthy person, so he couldn't give them money. But what could he do in his capacity? He could fast for them. He was a person that knew how to fast. He knew how to be misfalo. So he did. He went and he gave up. He gave himself totally over to the Sibur to the extent that he was physically sick. Miritus, the complete opposite. She had everything, and she chose not to give. The Mela HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about her death through Rabbi Tzadok, indirectly. To show to her, you know why you're dying? Is because you failed to give up of yourself, to just like Rabbi Tzadok gave up of himself for Klal Yisrael. That's the correlation between these two. Okay, we will stop over here. We'll continue together with this tomorrow. Continue tomorrow. Give another handout.
All these righteous, really righteous people there, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they're a bummer. Yeah.
This is the refuah card.
Sure.
Oh, I'm going to send you this website on it. It's called refuah card.
Once I have something else at home.
You have a different one? Bring it in.
Yeah, if I remember.
Yeah. It's good. I keep it in my medical chest.
That's a challenge.
I'm going to order for everybody. Very good. He brings, it's not the Kaiser. He didn't go to Rome for the Kaiser. He went to the Shliach.
The Shliach, the local governor.
The Shliach was in Damascus.
Damascus?
Yeah, in Damascus.
Damascus? He was nearby, in the whole Damascus.
So he went there. There was a local guy.
It's fascinating. The Roman Empire is fascinating. Lord, how everything worked, how they got together, what they did.
They have their heads, and you see the faces. You can see the faces in the bridge.
Yeah,
the
fascinating. It was a truth in history where it was. I don't know, Meshugaim also, but it's very interesting.
Not more than today. You're going to the administration?
Probably not. No. Not that I have anything against it. Just it's going to be a whole day for me. I can't go.
He brings the note. That what was the name? Zachariah.
Yeah.
He was the Anof, it says.
Yeah.
That was his downfall. He was really the biggest. But when it came to the to do Nisa, you always ask the youngest Bezin up in the Sanhedrin.
Who goes first?
But he thought he was Anof. He said first, so everyone said to him. Because if he would have gone last, they would have all said,
there was Pamphakert.
Kill him.
Right. So he made believe that
his
he was an Anof. So he said the first.
His Anivis killed
him. No one was in the side. Right. It's a very famous Vart. So then the art scroll. Yeah. It's a very popular one. Yeah.
Probably not. So here's the story. The word "corona" is not what he said.
What is it?
It means a female person.